you have to understand your energy. One thing I've learned is that everybody has a frequency, right? And if your frequency is off, right, things won't work for you. Things won't mess for you. You know, once you get your frequency in line, you'll start to see a trend, right? So, and honestly, I've experienced this myself. So my energy was kind of off. I didn't know why. You know, mentally, I might have been in a weird place. Like, I wasn't happy with myself, ABC. But then when I started to have more self-confidence, when I started to use my words for myself, right? Self-affirmation, right? You're, instead of saying like, man, my body sucks. I'm like, no, you know what? No, my body's cool. I'm going to keep getting it better. You say things in the universe, right? You speak positivity to yourself. You say, you know what? I am a dope actor. You know what? I am a dope business person. You know what? I am a dope trainer. You know, these different things. You say it to yourself and you speak it into the universe. You give that power to yourself. And you'll start to see certain people will radiate to you because their frequency is the same.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Inside Out Podcast. I'm your host, Yamoria Wright. The intention of this podcast is for you to enrich your life with behind-the-scenes interviews from entrepreneurs and thought leaders who are ready to keep it real about their journey thus far and what making an impact looks like to them from the inside out. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Inside Love My Roomie, the special Inside Out podcast where we feature the stars of Love My Roomie. We dig in, figure out who these people really are. And of course, we talk about the show and any memories on set, et cetera, et cetera. Bernard White is here. All of you have just met him as Rick. Oh my God. It is, right? It's Rick Singleton.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. It's Rick. You know what it is.
But let me tell y'all more about who Bernard is. Bernard is a captain in the United States Army who grew up in South Carolina. Sometimes you can hear the twang in his voice. He attended Ball State University and graduated with a degree in health science. In his own words, Bernard says, acting is an art form that you have to grow into. Once you grasp the aspect that you're basically doing what you did as a kid, acting becomes so much more enjoyable. As kids, we all play pretend. Now we just do it on a higher platform and actually train and practice to sharpen our imaginative skills. I love that. Any chance to embody a character and bring them to life is such a great and fulfilling opportunity. Having the opportunity to bring someone's imaginative story to life is such a unique and rewarding feeling. And above all, it's fun. I love that. As an active duty officer, he uses this analogy with acting in every other aspect of his life to put everything in perspective. He says, let the scars from your battles in the war to accomplish your dreams be a reminder that anything worth having is worth fighting for. He also states, you have one life and you must live it to the fullest. Life is too short to live with a bunch of what ifs. Bernard created a quote that he lives by. If you're afraid to be strong, you deserve to be weak. Bernard, it is so great to have you. We have not spoken since, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a while. You be on the move. Like, hey, you are nonstop. So, look, if I can't get you while you walking to the market or something, I'm not going to be able to get a hold of you.
Not the market. Welcome to the market. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. So, okay. So, but how have, you know, the models and the mantras that you have, that you live by in life, how have they shaped this year for you?
Or challenged? Oh man. Whew. I would definitely say this year has been an extreme challenge for me. Mm-hmm. Job wise and acting wise, even in the military, you know, with all the big racial issues that's been going on in our country this year, you know, as far as the military, they try to, you know, present itself as if, oh, well, there's no black, there's no white, there's just green, right? Like, and in my line of work, me being an officer, being an African-American officer, I'm one of the only ones in my radius of where I work. So, you know, a lot of junior soldiers come to me with their problems and they feel like they can't get help. And it's so much more is coming to light of racism, but it's only coming to light to the people who didn't want to accept it. We've been going through this. This ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just more put in the light now. And it actually is, it makes my job a little more stressful. People are coming more to light with their issues. And so me being a Black officer, I'm looked at as the go-to, which is fine. But I have to be extra careful in my day-to-day because they're also looking for reasons to say, oh, well, see, that's why you're not right where you're supposed to be at, because, you know, because you're Black. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty much, you know, doing above and beyond to be looked at as an equal. That's basically the easiest way to put it. But I will be moving in May, so hopefully my next position will be a little better.
You're moving in May. Okay.
To Miami. Ooh, I know, right? Crazy.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, cannot wait.
I can see you in
as
Miami.
As far as acting wise, oh, you and me both.
I see it. You said as far as acting wise, what?
Acting. So. Acting wise has been probably an even bigger struggle. You know, obviously with the COVID-19 thing, a lot of productions have stopped. You know, a lot of people who, you know, had pilots that they were, you know, getting ready to work on, you know, those things stopped. I got recast for a role, a big role for that was big for me. I got recast for it. And that was kind of a humbling thing. And it's funny because it wasn't due to anything on my end.
How are you able to adapt to these times? Have you found other ways to exercise your instrument or to stay creative or inspired as an actor?
So my outlet has been TikTok. I've actually been kind of doing well on TikTok.
Okay, see you.
But recently I've kind of been going through like a mental block, honestly. Like a creative block. And I've learned that, and maybe me and you talked about this before in the past about writing. And I told you, like, I don't want to write. I just don't want to. I want to act. Like, I like the performance act of it. You know, I like portraying someone else's ideas instead of my own, because it forces me to not be biased to myself. And I'm still learning that I might have to actually try to knuckle down and learn how to write. Because it's harder now. It's way harder now, especially like trying to get roles on like Netflix and Hulu, because they're going to continue to use people that they already have. One, because they know who they're around, you know, because it's COVID, right? They're gonna use people who they know have been tested constantly. They know more of their whereabouts. You know, they know who they are. And so it becomes a little more difficult.
Find, like you said, TikTok, whatever. Continue to tap into what you're good at. One of the things that I would offer you, and you've done this plenty of times. I don't know if you've done it recently on your Instagram, but you know, speak to people and motivate and inspire, and you're transparent. And so you shouldn't undermine that as a way to reach. Because, yes, people are going to cast who they know, but people also care about people who are people. And I think we're in a shift in society where the celebrityness of it all is becoming less and less interesting. I think that really began to level this year, because at the end of the day, I don't really care what a celebrity is doing when I'm trying to survive and figure out how to get some tissue because everything's sold out.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if there's an actor who I love, like think about The Rock, but if there's somebody who's, I could go on their page and it feels like they really care about people like me, and they really do care about people like me, and they're willing to, you know, love my roomie plug. They're willing to take off their mask and let me see who they are a little bit. That already is going to build a trust that people have in you, and it's a numbers thing. So yes, it's like the agents and the managers and the production companies, whatever, they see, you know, who they know, but they also see who people know. So I think that you might want to consider, you know, doing that more regularly if you're not already. I'm sorry if I've missed it and you have been, but I really think when you have shared on there, it's been very powerful.
Actually, I haven't done that. So you're right. I think I should step back into that.
Yeah.
I've let myself be a little more vulnerable in some areas maybe than I should have. And so learning how to dial in and kind of learn to control certain emotions when necessary.
Yes.
It's been an interesting year. I can honestly say that I was very guarded. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time letting people in. And this year I allowed people in, and on certain aspects it backfired, and certain aspects it was cool. So I think kind of getting that hard lesson to know what it feels like to kind of let somebody in and it kind of be thrown back in your face, I think it was needed. You know, I can add that feeling to my actor tool book when I need to pull it back up or something.
But so. That's interesting though, because you saying that tells me, you know, I think that other people, you know what I'm saying, who perhaps I would even offer people who don't take artistry, they don't lead their life artistically, or people, we can get specific and say people who don't necessarily act or write, they can probably, I think no one can afford to be guarded like in the long run when it comes to, like, the expansiveness of your spirit. But I do think that more people can go through life that way when you don't have to try to become someone else. But if your guards are up, there's going to be a blockage in your ability to access certain emotions. Absolutely. Because you're not experiencing them.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, so. Yeah. So that's a huge growth bit. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. That's amazing. What advice would you have? I'm putting you on the spot here. But what advice would you have in almost complete hindsight? We're at December 6th. What advice would you have to other people? You could say Black men, whoever addressed to tell them about getting through times like these, because even though, you know, not to be bleak, but even though 2020 is over, we are entering it on lockdown across many places, this being one of them, California. Yeah. For sure. So what advice do you have people to continue to try to keep their spirit well?
Honestly, the biggest advice I can give is you have to understand, first you have to understand your energy. You know, everyone has energy,
repeat
right?
That. Hold on. Repeat that.
You have to understand your energy. One thing I've learned is that everybody has a frequency, right?
Come on.
If your frequency is off, right, things won't work for you. Things won't mess for you. You know, once you get your frequency in line, you'll start to see a trend, right? So, and honestly, I've experienced this myself. So my energy was kind of off. I didn't know why. You know, mentally, I might have been in a weird place. Like, I wasn't happy with myself. ABC. But then when I started to have more self-confidence, when I started to use my words for myself, right? Self-affirmation, right? You're instead of saying like, man, my body sucks, I'm like, no, you know what? No, my body's cool. I'm gonna keep getting it better. You say things in the universe, right? You speak positivity to yourself. Mm-hmm. You say, you know what? I am a dope actor. You know what? I am a dope business person. You know what? I am a dope trainer. You know, these different things. You say it to yourself and you speak into the universe. You give that power to yourself. And you'll start to see certain people will radiate to you because their frequency is the same. And so I came across two guys. One's name is Desmond Dennis. He's an artist. And another one is Tone Stipe. And, you know, they're both artists. And I got close with them this year, but their energy is amazing. Like, they're actually generally good people. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a good fellowship with the Lord. Like, they're family oriented. Like, they're big on positivity. They're big on family. And I feel like if my energy wasn't right, I wouldn't have came across either of them. Mm-hmm. And in return, like, they've helped me build myself up. Mm. You know what I mean? So the biggest advice I can give is make sure your frequency is right. Make sure you yourself are happy, because if you're not happy, you can't make anybody else happy, and nobody can make you happy. Mm-hmm. And it has to start within yourself.
It's your energetic signature. You know, I've been doing a lot of energy healing work this year and kind of looping back to what we were talking about, you know, earlier when I was talking about people who were not in alignment with me. It was that there was a pull in my spirit at the beginning of this year, and I couldn't understand what it was. But it was that I was out of alignment with my own energy signature. Out of alignment with my own truth, and I had lost that. I think I was looking at some YouTube videos. I used to be a natural hair YouTuber. And these videos were back from 2012. So I moved to New York in 2013. So right before I moved, and I said, "Gosh, I had a pretty darn solid sense of self. What happened?" And I think that, you know, it was, and then I also started exploring and learning more about this dark night of the soul type of moment that you can have in life, or period, I should say, in life. And at first I thought, oh, I went through the dark night of the soul at the top of this year, 2020. And then when I got about October around my birthday, I began to realize, oh, I've had that kind of going through the shadow moment for years and years. I think that it came to the surface this year so that I could ultimately be fully embodied into who I am. But I think that there were many times that I wasn't on my own frequency. And so I could never figure out, like, why am I not happy? What's going on? Why do I have these days that are really, that I'm like, blah, 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 like, you know, and then I have days where I'm like, eh. You know, it could take it or leave it.
I feel you. I definitely feel you with that. You know,
and a lot of it was also burnout. A lot of it was also trying to overperform, overdeliver. And I realized, and I began to learn, that perfectionism is a trauma response. That's not like it's from, because look, think about little kids, you know, like they learn to be obsessed with perfectionism, but like at first things are kind of sloppy. Life is kind of sloppy. Absolutely. You know, but the idea of like I have to be perfect is a trauma response to not feeling good enough at some period or for whatever period long in life. You know, so that frequency signature is so real. And I think what you're saying that really resonates with me, that I kind of want to reiterate to people, is check who's around you.
Like, oh, absolutely. Oh my God. Because
they're telling, yes. They're a mirror. They're reflecting back to you who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so funny you say that, because I literally had like a 2-hour conversation with my boy yesterday about this. Mm-hmm. Because that was part of the vulnerability thing I was telling you about. Because I had let some people get close who I thought were one way, and, you know, it kind of comes up that they weren't. I took it personal, and I shouldn't have. Like, I'm going to take it personal because somebody judges me. Well, you don't know me. I know who I am. So why am I getting mad at you? That's your demon that you got to work with. Because you're judging me off of something. You know what I mean? Like, and that's part of the vulnerability thing. It's like, man, like, I was really upset. Like, I was hurt. I was hurt, you know, like, because I've always tried to help people. I've never tried to take from anyone. Never done anyone wrong, never went behind anyone's back. But all these things were said and done about me, like, me of all people? Like, for a while, I was like, well, damn, like, why would you look at me like that? But then you have to dial it back, like, hold up. Hold up. I ain't never did nothing wrong to you. You think that about me? That's your demon. That's your problem. Mm-hmm. That's your negative energy. Because I know who I am. I ain't never did nothing wrong to you. Never did nothing bad by you. So, that's your thought. Hey, you got it. Like, I know who I am. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I feel you.
Real. That is the energy. Like, it's that energy that I think is going to really coming into this new shift. They say we're in the age of Aquarius, you know, coming into this new, we can feel it. Like, if you're any kind of spiritually sensitive, you can feel things are different. Be like, you Absolutely. Can you can understand that things are different. The whole idea of like, when we return, like, you understand. You get it now. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't get it in March, you get it now. Like, oh, this Absolutely. is different. We've changed. And but I think being able to lift others and help others out of their darkness is there's a fine line, but it's a solid line. It's a solid line in which you either are ready to work through your own demons, right, and get to that point where you understand who you are at your core, because that's where all your real power to live the entire life that you want is.
Absolutely.
To live a purpose, to inspire, to nourish, to make your family proud, your ancestors proud. All of that lies in knowing your energetic frequency, who you are.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. I love it. Okay, well, we segue to Rick. Quick segue. What's his energetic frequency? Since we're there, who is Rick?
Let's see. So, Rick Singleton. He comes off as he's cocky or arrogant, but he's actually not. He's actually just very confident. Because growing up, you know, he was never the outgoing type. You know, he was sheltered. You know, this is my backstory. You know, we talked about it. He was sheltered, you know, he didn't go out. He didn't have a lot of friends. And, you know, after college, he kind of got into the club business, and he actually kind of fell into himself, kind of felt like, oh, you know, I might be an okay dude. You know what I mean? And so he comes off, he gives it's a subtle arrogance, I guess you could say, but it's not cocky. But he has a special soft spot for Giselle. So, you know, the cockiness and arrogance goes out the window whenever he sees her. You know, it's more of a, what can I do to bring her over here to me type of thing. You know
what I mean? What does like Rick think about Kyle though? Like,
I think he's a cornball. This is what that's the easiest way for me to put it. Let me tap into Rick. Look, I think Kyle's a cornball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been dating this man for the longest, and I can tell that Giselle's not happy. And I've been trying to bring her on to the right side for the longest. However, because I respect Giselle, I'm not going to disrespect her relationship, you know, with Kyle. So I play the field. You know what I mean? I take a step back. you know, I wait for her to see what I see. So,
That's deep too, because I don't. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if Giselle ever sees. We'll see, because I always have things up my sleeve. But we'll see.
That like you do. Said. That you do. 100,000%.
I remember back in 2019, I would post things and what did you say to me? You would always call me something, say that basically that I'd just be on stealth mode. I'd be just like sneaking. What?
Yeah, you'd be on that ninja stuff, but hold up. I hit that phone so quick. Well, before I hit that phone so quick. Excuse me, miss. I saw your post. I'm just wondering where this footage came from and why wasn't I notified before?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, the series at this point of this interview, the series, it takes a dope turn. I think it takes a really dope turn with Giselle and Kyle and Rick and Zane. I think the things in the bar are very interesting, and it's kind of like, it almost feels also, as I'm thinking about it, I actually have a still on my desktop right now of Giselle in the bar. I mean, of course I do, right? I have things everywhere.
Yes, you do.
But it almost feels like it's kind of a cave. Do you get what I'm saying? The bar?
A cave?
Yeah, it almost feels like it's like a place where, us actually looking like it kind of feels like one. A nice cave, but a cave. But it's like, it feels like it's a place where there's kind of like a revealing that happens. Like, think of Bane. You know what I'm saying? Like, it almost feels like it's that kind of that place, because it's very subtle, and things like Kyle gets up and leaves and Giselle stays.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's in there is supposed to be in there, and what's not in there is gets out. I don't know. It's just very interesting. It's a place of revealing. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I wrote it intentionally trying to be like, oh, we're going to have a setting where it's like a place where things are revealed. Because it's not like a Cheers type of bar, you know?
Yeah, it's more of a, like a, more laid back, more of like a, not everybody comes in here type of thing.
Yeah.
Like a sensual.
So, yeah. So it's very, very interesting. How did you approach the role? I think that people will be curious to know that, because you have, I think that Rick has a great warmth about him, which I think is necessary for Giselle, because she doesn't really have anyone, but we know what Rick's about to do. So I'm curious, like, what are his boundaries? Like, what's the deal?
So I guess when I was preparing for this role, like, you know, when you sent me the script and everything, I tried to take a side approach to it. You know, I tried to steer away from the exact opposite of what Bernard would do. Mm-hmm. Right. Because like, if I come across a girl and she has a dude, then it's an automatic, like, all right, bet, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I tried to do the exact opposite. For developing my character for Rick. So Rick's more of like a, you know, if I want it, I'm going to let it be known that I want it, and I'm going to continue to slowly make my way until I get it, type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, he wants Giselle. He's known Giselle for a long time, and Giselle knows that Rick wants her. She knows. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Kyle is the only factor that's standing between Rick getting what he wants.
You saying that makes me feel like, does Giselle like weaponize Kyle? I mean, Kyle gets up, storms out. And like, when I wrote it, I didn't think that this scene was as shady as it was. Admittedly, I truly thought, y'all. I mean, it could be because I'm just like, you know, I grew up in the church. I'm just a good Christian girl. I don't know what it is. But it's, there's what you write, there's what's filmed, and then there's what's edited, right? There's all those different versions of a story. Right. So what you guys brought to the table, well, it's like, oh my God, it's really shady, which is
I mean,
I want to hear Rick's opinion.
I mean, Rick's not tripping. Rick's not tripping. Like, he's all for it. Like, because, you know, I obviously, like, you know, the scene when I actually meet him. Oh, okay. Well, as you can see, like, when I first meet Kyle, like, I'm kind of dogging him, like, you know, like, oh, you're Kyle. Like, all right, come meet my man. It's like, you know, we own this spot here. So if you want something, you got it, bro. Like, don't worry about it. I know you a simp, so I'm going to help you out. You know what I'm saying? So, and then when I see him leave, I'm like, oh, it's my time right now. So.
It's my time. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I took it as opportunity as far as Rick, you know, as prime opportunity. Like, obviously they're not getting along, you know, they, whatever issues they're having, let me come in and show her, you know, you don't need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is behind Giselle's mask?
I think that she is loyal to a fault. And I think that, and I think she stays with Kyle because of longevity. They've been through a lot with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had a lot of, you know, what's the word? I'll say a lot of spectacular situations. And when I say that, I mean, like, they've been through big things that are detrimental to a relationship. They can either build or they can lose from it, you know? And I think that plays a factor in why she has this certain loyalty to her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that I feel like Rick's character, he doesn't really notice. He doesn't get that part. You know, he doesn't know all the ins and outs. But obviously, if you watch it, you'll people that watch it, they know, they see. So I think that's the holding factor for why she's still with Kyle. It's because of longevity and kind of loyalty. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's been here through some storms with me. So I'm still trying to make this work because of the things he's done for me, or he's been there. Or he's, you know, he's allowed me to find myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too, when we think about it, like her being this Black woman that's very isolated as well. And I think she's trying to find purpose through other people. And I also think that she's on almost like on the run from her roommates because they kind of see her but I almost wonder, you know, we talked about energy and everything. And so I almost wonder if it's one of those things where they see her, but they don't see what she's trying to be. They just see what she's struggling through. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes that can be good to have people around you who see, you know, of course, who see what you're working through, your challenges, but you also have to keep people who can lift you. Otherwise, people will recycle back to you who they think you are, and you never get to really experience the fullness of yourself. And I think that Giselle gets a taste of that, you know, with Rick. I don't actually think this is Yemoria, the actress. I don't know. I'm just being a spectator too. I don't know the answer, but I just kind of don't feel like Giselle, maybe I'm biased, but I don't feel like she's trying to hurt Kyle by bringing him to Rick's spot. Is she trying to hurt him?
I mean,
that's like totally dirty. That's like horrible.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is she trying to do it?
Me personally, is like if I know that someone has an interest in someone else and they bring me to their establishment, I'm like.
But is that her being shady to Rick or being shady to Kyle?
I think it's her playing the middle field.
Okay.
Because you know, as Rick is like, yo, you gonna bring this cornball to my club? And it's like, but you know what? It's fine because it's you. Like, mm-hmm. She knows. I think that's what it is. She knows her power. I think that's what it is. She knows the power she has over Rick and over Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. Because mm-hmm. she knows Rick's not going to tell her no. You know? Mm-hmm. And she knows that, you know, she kind of has Kyle too. Like, yeah, he might be frustrated. He might be upset, but he still keeps coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of she knows her power and she's using mm-hmm. it. So.
That's very interesting. It's definitely an episode that plays a lot with power. I mean, not to mention that Salima, who is Kyle's girlfriend, is just, I mean, she just doesn't even, I actually think Salima has an intuition, but I think that she's ignoring that. And I think that's a whole nother conversation. Cause I feel like Kyle is, and this is literally me watching stuff as in hindsight as a viewer. And I think that Kyle is, I think Kyle's also kind of playing the middle field of like, oh, I'm going to see what's up over here right quick. I'm just going to go see, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to see mm-hmm. what's going on right here real quick. So he kind of like, I'm curious if our Love My Roomie fam will think that actually Kyle kind of had it coming. Cause he also totally lied to his girlfriend and told her that he's going to come see his sister and he's going to see Giselle. So it's kind of like, again, you walked into the cave, like you walked in there, you know what I'm saying? Like you walked into the lair, like you did it. Okay, so before we wrap our interview, I want to ask you, because of the tagline of the series is What's Behind Your Mask. It's been that since 2017, has nothing to do with, you know, or maybe it did, you know, and I just, you know, was one of those connection things, but I didn't know intentionally that we would be wearing masks and that we'd be in a year that was very much so revealing, like talk about 2020 vision. It's been a year of revelation. I think even of ourselves, of other people, even what you've said still ties into that. So what's behind your mask? What does that mean to you?
What's behind them? I think the what's behind the mask is more so like, what is the you that's not on social media, that's not you know, the, because everyone has to put on a certain persona, right? Like, you can't just, sometimes you can't just be you, whether for work, for acting, for whatever. Like, you have to present yourself in a certain way. So, like, a behind the mask is more of like, all right, if all those things are off the table, like, who are you? I think for myself, I think I'm still developing that. You know, I thought I had it all figured out, right? I thought that I was making all the right strides, all the right decisions, you know, for myself, for my son. And, you know, I've had to grow more. You know what I mean? I think who Bernard is under the mask, I think Bernard is a dedicated person who wants to be successful for his family, but has a desire to have like people to do it with. You know what I mean? It's not like a solo thing. It's like, who doesn't want to make it, right? We all want to make it. But it's like, no one wants to make it alone. You know, what's the point of having, you know, a big house or a lot of land or a lot of money? You can enjoy it with friends and family who worked hard with you, or even in their own craft, but have worked hard alongside you. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're going to make me cry, actually. That's so deep. I feel that hard. I do. I feel that. I feel that heavy. I do.
I think that's it goes back to why, you know, the whole growth thing, you know, that's why I felt so hurt before, because these are some people who I thought I could do that with. And it turns out that not all of them, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I think that's who I am under the mask. You know, I'm just someone who I want to be successful for my family, but I want to have a group of people who I consider family as well to be successful along with.
Bernard, that sparks a question. I want to ask, let me phrase this. Do you think that this is why, you know how they say, like, you know, you're your worst enemy, right? Or even you, like, you know, if you, I want to get right. If you're afraid to be strong, you deserve to be weak. It says to me too, like, you're your own, it's you versus you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So do you think that this might be, I feel like you're onto something. Do you feel like this might be why many people choose to not live to their fullest potential and self-sabotage, because there's this idea that as you climb, as you push, you find less and less people, or the people that you really want there just don't want to, or don't know how to be on that frequency. Do you think that this is why people reduce themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing about choosing your circle, right? Mm-hmm. So there's certain people that you can be around that'll say, hey, bro, no, you shouldn't do that, bro, because, you know, that's hard to do. You might not make it, man. You know, you should stick with where you're at. You know, it's safer. You're good right here. Mm-hmm. See, that are the people you don't want around you. You want someone to say, hey, bro, hey, well, if that's your goal, I want to see you get there. You know what I mean? There's people that allow you to progress without trying to pull you back, because they have their own self inadequacies, yes. Right? Most of the people who tell you not to do something is because they're too scared to do what they want to do themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be an actor. Like, I want to be an A-list actor. Like, nobody's going to tell me not. I'm not going to be. And if there's someone who's saying, oh, bro, well, you know, that's going to be hard to do, bro. You know, that's very rare. Well, maybe to you, yeah. Because you have your own self-inadequacies that whatever your dream was, you let it go because you were afraid of failure. Or you were afraid of whatever it is. So you want to project that on me so I can stay on the same level as you. And that happens to a lot of people. That happens to a lot of people. And yes, any dream that someone has, if it's a real dream, it should be scary. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, if I got a big role on like a Netflix series or a Hulu series, I would be extremely happy, but I would be nervous as hell. Because you have one opportunity. And if you mess that up, could be a wrap. But that's part of it, right? That's part of testing and seeing and giving your all into something. Because if I'm given an opportunity like that, I'm going to put my all into it. And if I don't get it, you know what? I gave it everything I had.
Right.
And that's the part people are so scared of. They're scared of giving it everything they have. Like, why not? What do you have to lose? You don't get, this ain't a video game. You don't get a reset. You don't get a restart. You get one chance. Sometimes you might get blessed with two, maybe, but you need people around you that are like, yo, go get that stuff. I'm not going to cuss on the podcast, but go get that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, go get it. And I think when people don't have those right people, that it sabotages them. And then they start to self-doubt themselves. And their dreams just pass them by.
I think that's something, you know what I'm saying, not to make it simplify it, but it's kind of the makings of a hater, right? The makings of a hater. It is someone who cannot, because we all have fears, and I think that that's the thing, like, you have to address those, and I think it's the layers, and you also have to be, you have to trust that if you are your best self, like you were talking about the young men that you've been aligned with and connected with, that you'll attract the right people. And you have to be okay with, this is a hard thing. This is something I've not mastered. So I'm not talking mastery here, but you have to, it is something that I'm working through. You have to be okay with people and friends that you thought you had not being there. Like I was looking back in the last 5 years, and it's like, I used to be surrounded by a lot of people last 10 years. And I'm like, I ain't got most of those people around no more. And that's not to say that we'll never reconnect again, but it is to say that there was a lot of sacrifice that I had to make in order to make something like Love My Roomie pop, you know, or even this podcast. And it what it requires of you is that you have faith that you're going to be able to not only, you know, surpass your wildest, you know, imagination, but also that you will, as long as you stay, again, you stay in your true home frequency, that you'll attract people who attract the right people who are good for you. Cause you don't want to just be around a bunch of people. Cause that's not good neither.
Exactly.
You know, you could be around a bunch of people who try to spoon feed you drugs.
Dead ass.
You're like, well, I got all my peeps here. Yeah, but they got you beside yourself, and now all of a sudden you're not as strong as you were at whatever given talents or gifts. You know, so it's twofold. But I feel it. The notion of I want to have these dreams, to realize these dreams, but also be like, I want to share it with essentially with my tribe, with the community. I'm not trying to be in the mansion all by myself like Gatsby.
Yeah, no, for real.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't end well.
At all.
Looking at the other side, like, dang, you know, I'm going to watch that movie today, though. That movie's a vibe. I think we'll watch that. Thank you, Spirit. Okay. We're moving into the final part. Okay. It's called Hurt, Heal, Joy. Mm-hmm. Take your time, and I can go through it piece by piece. And it's what currently hurts you or, you know, bothers you about world, society, anything. Could be many things. What do you want to heal? Again, could be many things. And what brings you joy? Hurt, heal, joy.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You can take your time.
Ooh, that's a good one. Hurt, heal, joy. I think the thing that hurts me the most, it's more so of like you said, everyone's their worst critic, right? Mm-hmm. I think the thing that hurts me the most is the fact that I'm not where I want to be. Mm. And I say that for two reasons. I say one, because of my son. You know, for those who don't know, like I am active duty. So I'm full-time military. So I'm away from my son majority of the year. And so the last time I had, and this genuinely really broke my heart. The last time I had him with me, you know, I had to take him back to his mom, and he said, Daddy, can I talk to the Army? And I was like, what, bro? I was like, you can't talk to the Army, buddy. Like that's an entity. So I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, I want to talk to somebody because I want my daddy back. Hold on, give me a second. Yeah, that was a hard, oh man, that's too hard to talk about.
It's okay.
That was a hard thing for me because, you know, the only reason I can put on my uniform is to take care of my son, you know, because before I was active duty, like I was struggling. I was a struggling father. Like I didn't have a job. Like I had to sell everything I had just to get food for him, get clothes for him, you know? So I had to make a choice. I was like, either be around him and not be able to provide for him, or, you know, be sent away to make sure he doesn't want for anything. And that was a decision I had to make, you know, between that and, you know, with my mother, you know, she's getting older and she's still working. And that bothers me, mm-hmm. you know, because I want to make it so I can call her and tell her, yo, you don't have to work anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whenever I talk to her and she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to work. It's like sticking a needle in my chest every time I hear that. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, yo, if I would have pursued acting sooner, if I would have did this more, if I would have did mm-hmm. that more, mm-hmm. maybe I would have made it further, you know? And mm-hmm. so that's the hurt part, because I haven't made it yet. And obviously mm-hmm. there's no timeline for it, but, you know, I feel like if I made it, you know, I'd have my son with me more. My mom wouldn't have to work, you know?
Well, you know what, Bernard? I'm going to be having 2021 and you, and not even 2021, I'm going to be having you and manifesting your dreams and that in my prayers. I've been recently thinking about not just manifesting for myself, but how can I lift others, you know? And I'll be praying for you and really lifting you and sending you that good energy and just combining prayer forces. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it. I really do.
Cause it's important. It's important that I think one of the things that's important for me is not to just, and I think I can't help but be this way. Cause this is my fabric, but I don't want to just have actors pass through and be like, hey, bye, deuces, thanks for the project. You know what I'm saying? It's just not me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not me. The way that I see Ava DuVernay, she seems, even at that level, she has such a care for who she works with. And she doesn't just like use them up and then, you know, be like, thanks for making my project. You know, it's about the community and being like, we're creating worlds together. Why would we not be lifting one another in our real world to make sure that we're okay? You know what I'm saying? To make sure that we're okay. So,
absolutely. That's like Ryan Coogler and like Michael B. Jordan and, you know, the whole thing. Yes, 100%.
Exactly. Yes. It's that. There's no reason we don't have to do what old Hollywood did, where it's just kind of like your pastor. And honestly, they was building community too. Black folk, we do the same, because mm-hmm. that's why you see the same actors and the same director stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, nah, this my boy. I already know what they could do, and nah, it's good. I'm thank you though, you know. So we need to be doing that at every level.
I think I want to heal my self-doubt, you know, as much as I say, like, you know, you're supposed to, you know, my saying is, if you're afraid to be strong, you deserve to be weak. You know, I fight that battle with myself every single day, mm-hmm. every single day. Like, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I around the right people? Am I, you know, trying to go the right path? Is this the path that God wants me to do? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a constant battle. And it's a, am I good enough battle sometimes mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Because for those who don't know, I have dysmorphia. Mm. So as far as like my physique and my build, you know how big I am on fitness. You mm-hmm. know, I am the extremely worst critic of myself physically. And it's because I have a disorder where I don't see progress. I think that kind of spills over into like my acting and everything else. Mm-hmm. Not giving myself credit to the work that I put in. Not saying be complacent, but, you know, say, hey, bro, you know, you work hard, man. Like, give yourself a little pat. Don't stop working. Just give yourself a little pat and keep pushing, you know. Time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, like, you have impeccable work ethic. You're so easy to work with. You're also fun to work with. And you're very dependable. So do give yourself, like, a big pat on the back. And even I was like, there's nobody else who, I mean, there's other people, but like, thank God that it's Bernard that I have to keep rescheduling this interview with, because you're so patient. And I was just like, you know me too, you know, I'm like a schedule freak. So to be able, like, I can't do it, like last minute, like it's in, you know, I'm just like, trying not to let it send me in a spiral, because I can't stand having to cancel and reschedule things. I like my schedule to just be my schedule. But I was so grateful for, even with this, just like, oh, he's so easy to work with. It's like, you're just, you like, when you're there, you're just there, and that's it, you know? And so definitely give yourself a pat on the back and continue to heal that, for sure, because you deserve to feel the fullness of who you are and what you bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? So
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, glad. Okay, see, of course, of course. What brings you joy?
Man, what brings me joy? Honestly, my son. Mm-hmm. And I actually go pick him up on Tuesday. But my son brings me joy. And it, you know, it's so funny because I've learned from last couple times I had him, he loves the camera. He loves being on the camera. That little dude is a natural, and I feel like such a bonehead because we made a Christmas video last year, like a little YouTube video. I didn't edit it. I was just being lazy, and it's so bad. But he is a natural. Like, I had to turn the camera. I'm like, hey man, who taught you this?
Like, hold up. It.
He was like, nobody. I was like, all right. Well.
That's like, so dope.
Yeah, like, he is a natural. I'm like, man, this is, all right.
Love it. That's amazing. Look at that too. See, and just going back to like the inner child and how, isn't it amazing when you look at it and you're like, and I know that I learned this, I'm an auntie, you don't have a kid, but my niece teaches me this. And I know you learned that as a father, like, you look and you're like, we always are who we're born who we are, and we forget.
Absolutely. But you know what? And this is my mother is a wonderful woman. She's a great woman. And obviously back then it's different than now. And I've learned that honestly, a lot of time our parents kind of cause us to build barriers up of who we are because of society.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, like, you know, when you're in school, right, you're supposed to just sit still and be quiet. Don't say this and don't do that. Because it's funny because my son gets in trouble at school. And I'm like, and it's not even bad stuff. Like, his mom will come like, oh, well, Caden, you know, he got a note. So I was like, well, what did he do? And she was like, oh, well, he was, you know, up playing. He was up, you know, goofing off and jumping around. I was like, for what? She was like, oh, well, he finished his work first. And you know, he didn't want to sit in his seat. I was like, He's an 8-year-old. He's eight. And he finishes work before everybody else. So he's smart and finishes work. And now he's going back to his real self. He's fine. Mm-hmm. Perfectly fine. Like, I'll never punish my son for that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Like, be you. Like, I'm not going to water down or sand down his imaginatory skills. You know what I'm saying? Like, he be in his own zone. I'm not about to deteriorate that. And yes, my mother may have done that for me, but that was the position she was in, you know. Yeah. Fortunately, I was able to kind of break out of that. Mm-hmm. And now with my son, I can let him be him.
Mm-hmm. That's healing too. That's healing the bloodline. You know what I'm saying? Because
we know
why as Black kids, it was like, sit down, speak what's spoken to. I mean, a lot of it, it is absolute fear passed down from slavery. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be noticed, you could get killed.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know 100%. What I'm saying? Don't be noticed. And when breaking those cycles of being, again, like you said, we're so blessed to be able to be in the mental, like, we're able to even imagine breaking those cycles. Our parents couldn't even imagine that. There was not a world where you can imagine even breaking those cycles. 100%. It's like, what cycle? You mean being obedient? Ain't no cycle. That's how you act. You know, and now we're able to understand it as cycles, and we're able to see it for what it is, and we're healing. And that's so powerful. And it makes me so happy that you're doing that. That is so healing. That's so healing. That's amazing. Oh, so exciting. Bernard, thank you for this amazing interview. I could keep going.
I'm getting over this creative block, so I'm going to start the comedic stuff and the acting stuff. I'm just trying to get my head in the right space. But again, I'm a big fan of Miss Yamoria Wright. I'm a big fan of her work. Like, she is by far the absolute most professional, most best writer, producer, director, all in one that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. So
thank you. Thank you. It has been an amazing journey. I am so excited for everyone to meet Rick. I wish we could give them more. And you know what? That can always happen. Like, the possibilities are endless. Who knows what's next for Love My Roomie? I think beautiful things are next for Love My Roomie. And it has been a pleasure having this interview with you, Bernard. Thank you so much, everyone. This is Bernard White, who plays Rick Singleton on Love My Roomie. But he is so much more than that. And I hope you have enjoyed this interview. I certainly have. Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. Appreciate you, ma'am. Love y'all.
Hey, 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 before you go, this has been another episode of Inside Out Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or follow on Spotify. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Y'all Right Productions, for more digital and visual content coming your way soon. Follow Inside Out Podcast on Instagram and follow me, Ms. Right on Time, on the gram and Twitter. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Yamoria Wright. See it, say it, spell it, and don't wear it out.